Ambassador Andre Rezans, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having me here at the radio studio.
I'd like to start by asking you about the state of the European Union. We keep hearing stories about, you know, Greece is having a lot of issues with their debt, hearing some other reports of instability. How is the European Union doing?
Well, the most important aspect of European integration project, what we know as European Union, is that it was created as a peace project for Europe immediately after the Second World War. And basically, that's the rare moment in European history when European nations were not really fighting each other, but on contrary, cooperating and building together the common future. It always has been one or another challenge for EU integration. Future as well, I think we'll have a number of challenges sooner or later. There is a difficulty in some Eurozone countries, like Greece, for instance. It doesn't mean that EU has been created without a right to do some mistakes. EU is the biggest trading bloc in the world. EU is constantly evolving project. But I believe that very often when we speak about challenges in individual EU member states, very often these challenges are nationally caused difficulties. Latvia went through the very difficult period of financial crisis just 6 years ago. Basically, we were in a very difficult situation. Austerity policy, it was what our government had chosen freely. Of course, we got all the support we needed from IMF and other international donors, including European Union. We managed to deal with our financial problems. And currently, we are growing nicely without economic disbalances. But it's important that countries that do face difficulties and challenges act fast and really implement reforms that make their home in order.
Mm-hmm. But with Greece in particular, you've been negotiating with them for a long time to try to find a solution that is good for the EU and good for Greece. Do you see a lot of solid progress, or might Greece actually follow through in leaving the EU?
I don't think that we will be in a situation when Greece might be leaving EU. I can't see that this at all stands on the table. I think Greece is a good European partner. Of course, the challenges Greece is facing really are very difficult, but it doesn't mean that there is no way out. And at least from what I have seen and heard, being ambassador of Latvia to the United States, not being in Brussels or during these negotiations, what I see is that till there is time for having an agreement on financial support side for Greece, but I'm not saying that it will be an easy pass, but it's doable.
So Latvia is currently president of the EU Council. Can you explain how that works and what Latvia's main goals are for their presidency?
Latvia has taken over the presidency of EU Council. What does it mean? That means that our task really is to organize the work of the EU working groups at all levels that leads to the accomplishments of these goals. Presidency is very in charge of bringing around the consensus among 28, sometimes very different countries, very different priorities, and as well at the end bringing an agreement with European Parliament. Of course, each and every presidency tries to add some priorities. And we have clear goals, what we would like to achieve. And these goals had been negotiated together with previous EU presidency, Italy and Luxembourg, that will come after us from mid of this year. EU is not really in best shape economically these days. And we would like to see that during our presidency, there are a couple of very concrete steps taken to make EU economy grow faster and regain the speed and confidence. The other thing is the digital market. Sometimes in Europe, when we buy some things, there still are hindrances based on very national arrangements. So we try somehow to figure out what are the obstacles that perhaps should be removed to end up with a functioning single European digital market. Third priority is what we call more engaged Europe. Engaged more with immediate neighborhoods, either be it on the east of Europe, countries that are not exactly part of EU, but just across the EU border, and that would love to increase their importance of their relationship with the EU. In May, there will be a big summit of member states and these six countries. We hope that during this meeting there will be strategically important decisions taken how to further our relationship, as well relationship to Russia. And the last element, what goes to our immediate relations with the United States, EU-United States, transatlantic family. It's of crucial importance for economies on both sides of the Atlantic to find the ways how to agree next year on free trade and investment. And lots of strategic gains might be made if Europe engages with the United States profoundly in area of energy trade. In Europe, we see some European countries are too much dependent on a single energy source. U.S. has really made a revolution through fracking and basically becoming the leader of production of natural gas. I think if we would be able to engage more actively on both sides of Atlantic, that would be of great benefit for people on both sides of the Atlantic.
Okay. I would expect that you and your country are watching the Russian aggression in Ukraine very closely. You also share a border with Russia. Like Ukraine, you have a large minority of ethnic Russians. But different than them, you are also a member of NATO and of the EU. Mm-hmm. What is your take on what's happening in Ukraine?
It's very important that Baltic states, including my own Latvia, joined European Union and NATO in 2004. NATO really has understood the taken seriously threats coming from the situation we see unfolding in Ukraine. And NATO has a focused vision, doing lots of important engagement with Baltic states countries. But I think just pure membership in EU without proper job done, or NATO without proper investment and attention to our defense needs, would not suffice. Perhaps in situations people speculate might be unfolding. We went through the very difficult but blessed period of transformation starting from 1991, with the year of 2004, when we joined EU and NATO. That period meant that we carried out very important process reforms in area of establishment of functioning real free market, establishment of European Western style rule of law, of building up profound real civil society in Latvia. And that's a crucial difference. Ukraine went through the period of different history, more challenges, perhaps too late, introduced reforms. Of course, there's something neighbors and international community can do by supporting Ukrainian ability to defend themselves, yes. But the other thing that should be done as well, reforms of transformation. Those reforms what Baltic states carried out in 90s, and there's no other way how to stabilize the situation in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you mentioned Russian minority in Latvia. Yes, we have 26 approximately percent of ethnic Russians living in Latvia. But I think there is quite a big misperception describing ethnic Russians in Latvia as a consolidated group of people that will immediately engage. It's not like that. There are different groups of Russians, and sometimes the only thing that unites people is their language. But the perception of the world and how they view the situation in Ukraine and how they view their own fate, it differs from place to place. And it's as well a matter of generations. Different generations view the problem with different eyes. So the fact that we have a relatively big percentage of ethnic Russians living in Latvia doesn't mean that we immediately are gaining for problem. Actually, I can't see the same conditionality in the Baltics.
Okay, that's very interesting. Thank you. And as you've mentioned a couple of times, you know, occupation by the Soviet Union was still very recent in your history, in the 80s and 90s. Your country, as well as Lithuania and Estonia, were part of what's called the Singing Revolution, where, to oversimplify it, I apologize, you largely gained your freedom through song. Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, your memories?
I was a student in the end of 80s. Well, I was 20, 21, 22 during these very important years. It doesn't mean that everybody was just going around and singing. It's not like that. But singing because Well, we have in the Baltics unique traditions in European choir singing. Once in 4 years' time, we hold huge choir singing festivals, either it's in Latvia or in Estonia or as well Lithuania. And that has been recognized as well by United Nations as the World Heritage in culture. But the singing traditions in these festivals has more than 100 years been there. And usually it had worked in a very profound way to consolidate the public opinion and public resolve when it comes to difficult moments in the history of Latvian people. So these traditions are alive. Latvian people like to sing. Oh, there's a good reason that we have so many good opera stars. But, well, I was a student during the end of 80s, and I think already that time, although it was the end of Soviet Union, important politicians around the world that described this period of time, of course, they were not so sure. For us, youngsters in Latvia and other, I believe, Baltic states, it was quite clear that we are aiming to something big and interesting. And so basically, we engaged in many different ways, either through education or through simply protest or any other activity, and somehow trying to facilitate this breakout from Soviet occupation.
Mm-hmm. You talk about the EU's relationship with the United States, but what about Latvia in particular? What are your goals as ambassador for Latvia to the United States?
Well, my goal is very simple, to bring closer Latvian people to American people, to make them engage more actively. Well, Latvia definitely stands among those European nations that consider relations with the U.S. extremely high on our agenda. This year, in July, we will celebrate the 75 years since U.S. government adopted the policy of non-recognition of occupation of Baltic states. And this policy was extremely important during Cold War time. That helped us to keep Latvian embassy alive during the Cold War time. It was working not for Soviet Union, it was working for State of Latvia. So U.S. was extremely, extremely important player and country when it comes to assistance to preserve our independence. And when we regained it, of course, it was much more easier to build upon it. So we have a very positive background for our relations with the United States. And I don't think only about the threat that comes from the Eastern Europe, but I think as well about the Middle East. I think about Syria, situation in Syria and in Middle East in general. There are areas where our people are cooperating, and embassy, of course, does facilitate that kind of exchange. But as well, when it comes to our EU presidency this year, we are planning a very good program of different activities. We have initiated at the embassy a number of concerts of Latvian music, performing in different places in the United States. And I'm very delighted that more and more Americans discover the beauty of my country.
Mm-hmm. On a later note, if we were to come visit, what would be like the one thing you would say that we cannot miss in Latvia? Perhaps something that isn't in every single guidebook?
What I can say is that there are a couple of things that I would recommend. First, I would advise to pay a visit to our medieval old town, old city, Riga, capital city of Latvia. It's a great place. It's really very, very authentic and beautiful. For those who love Art Nouveau or Jugendstil, Riga is a capital city of Europe, of Jugendstil. We have very clean, exceptionally clean nature in Latvia, clean water and forests, and I believe we are among the top three cleanest countries in the world. And we have beautiful sandy beach, very long. In winter time, of course, it invites more for ice skating, I guess, or cross-country skiing. But in summertime, it's a great place really to relax and enjoy Baltic Sea. And so these are the things I would strongly recommend.
Sounds wonderful.